You're listening to Trek FM.
Deck 8.
Folks, and welcome to Deck 8, Episode 14. So we managed to get back to Unlocker 13, which I managed to do by not being on it at all. And this week, Tom's not here because he's at work, whereas last week I was at work. So once again, Dee has stepped up to help us out. Hi, Dee.
Hello. Hi.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Glad to be back on Deck 8.
Yeah, you're always welcome back. And also, folks, this is going to be a far superior episode because there's no Welsh people.
So we're picking on him already.
Yeah, so no Welsh people, no Wales, no George and Gracie, nothing like that. So just the
Sorry,
English.
Tom.
And Tom, if when you listen, Matt, I just want you to know that me and Dee are actually in a pub. I went down to where we're in a pub and we've got beers in front of us and we're having something to eat after and stuff like that, okay?
Yep, big yeah. Nice cold pint.
Yeah, so don't want you to worry on nothing, mate, but, you know, there you go. So, later on, folks, we have a guest, which will be Brandon from Perfect World. So, we'll bring in that interview later. But, before we get into that, we're going to get into some news. And the first bit of news is basically what we started, something that Tom mentioned last week, which is the 1,000 direct reward, which started on October the 10th. So people in the next day or two should start getting this, depending on when you started playing the game. So you should start getting your vet rewards. So we're going to delve into that. We're going to expand on it in a lot more detail than what we did last week, because now all the details in all their glory are online. And we've nitpicked a lot of them. So, first up, the exclusive veteran starship, starting with the Chimera Heavy Destroyer. The Starfleet Corps of Engineers has been working on several new destroyer-class starships designed for high-level combat situations. The project was so secret that access to the Utopia Planitia shipyard was restricted for months while the project was completed. Even Geordi LaForge couldn't get in. Now, Starfleet Command has decided to offer this to their most experienced captains, which is the 1,000 Davet rewards. So, what's the Chimera class destroyer? Well, it's similar to an escort, but has many qualities of a light cruiser and a science vessel. While in its innate regenerative reef mode, excess power is transferred to the auxiliary system, and you gain a bonus to the starship shield systems. It comes equipped with a prototype dynamic tactical system console, or DTS for short. This console allows you to transform your ship between regenerative mode and tactical mode. In regen mode, your tachyon inversion beam is enabled, which can siphon shield from multiple targets. Activating tactical mode transfers power to your weapon systems. This increases your ship's targeting system skills and accuracy. The DTS console enables a powerful multi-target Lotus, which is capable of piercing multiple targets. However, there's always a however, when in tactical mode, your starship systems bonus, auxiliary power bonus, and tachyon inversion beam are disabled. So bear that in mind if you're an engineer in a cruiser. Because something to think about.
Well, if you're eligible, this ship can be claimed from starship and shuttle requisitions at the shipyard. If you discharge the ship, speak to the Starship and Shuttle Requisitions contact to receive another token and reclaim it. An interesting side note is the fact that the Chimera Heavy Destroyer design was based off one of the design the Next Enterprise. So, to the nitty-gritty and the specs. Tactical mode, Phaser Lotus. Faction, Federation. Minimum rank, Vice Admiral. The hull strength is 34,500. Shield modifier 0.9, crew of 750, Weapons, 4 at the front, 3 at the back. Device slot, 3. Bridge officer stations, 1 commander tactical, 1 lieutenant engineering, 1 lieutenant science, 1 universal ensign, and 1 lieutenant commander. Console modifications, 4 tactical, 3 engineering, 2 science, with a base turn rate of 14 degrees per second, and a 0.22 impulse modifier. Can equip cannons, regenerative mode, innate, plus 5 auxiliary power, and plus 30 starship shield systems. Console, universal dynamic tactical system. Tactical mode, disables regenerative mode, with 5 plus weapon power and 30 plus starship targeting systems. The tachyon inversion beam, which requires a regenerative mode. Phaser lotus, tactical mode. And advanced quantum slipstream drive. When in regenerative mode, you get the tachyon inversion beam. When in tactical mode, phaser lotus, which hits multiple targets.
That ship packs a hell of a punch.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I'm looking forward to get my hands on that.
I know, it sounds incredible.
Yeah, that's plus 30 shields as well.
What more could you want?
Yeah. Might have to keep Tom alive as much.
Poor Tom.
Tom. Hey, he's not here. He missed his
chance. He's not here. We can pick on him.
Yeah, he missed it. He had his chance last week to pick on me and he didn't take it. That's his problem.
He didn't take it. Neither did I. I was very well behaved.
Yes. So, serve yourself right, Tom. So, not to be outdone, engineering team at the Empire Shipyards for the Klingons have designed a heavy ship with increased maneuverability that is nimble enough to outmaneuver a cruiser, but strong enough to take a barrage from an escort. Again, only experienced ship commanders with the backing of the High Council will have the chance to fly this ship. As a 1,000 day vet reward, the Klingon has granted you access to the prototype heavy destroyer, the Pekku class. And I probably said that wrong, but it sounded very Klingon.
It sounded very Klingon.
Yeah. The Pekku heavy destroyer is similar to a Raptor, but it is much more versatile. While in its innate regenerative mode, excess power is again transferred to the auxiliary system and you gain a Starship Shield System Plus. It comes equipped with a prototype Dynamic Tactical System, or DTS, like its Federation counterpart. Again, this will transform your ship between regen and tactical mode. And again, in regen mode, you get a tachyon inversion beam, which can siphon shields from multiple targets. And in tactical mode, you get what basically is the Lotus for the Klingons. This will increase your target ship targeting system, granting an accuracy bonus. Your ship seal system bonus, auxiliary bonus, and tachyon inversion beam are again disabled when in tactical mode. So the thing to remember with this is most Klingons go for DPS, so you're going for the punch. So with this ship, if you're built for the punch, that Lotus is going to make your punch a lot harder.
Again, if eligible, the ship can be claimed from Starship and Shuttle requisitions at the shipyard. If you discharge this ship, speak to the Starship and Shuttle requisitions contact to receive another token to reclaim it. So the faction is Klingon with a minimum rank of Lieutenant General. The hull strength, again, 34,500, with a 0.833 shield modifier, crew of 750, weapons 4 at the front, 3 at the back, device slots 3, with bridge officer stations, 1 commander tactical, 1 lieutenant engineering, 1 lieutenant science, 1 universal ensign, 1 universal lieutenant commander. The console modifications, 4 tactical, 3 engineering, 2 science. There's a 14 degree per second base turn rate and a 0.22 impulse modifier. Can equip cannons, regenerative mode with a 5 plus auxiliary power and a 30 plus starship shield system. The console universal, dynamic tactical system, which is again 5 plus weapon power, 30 plus targeting systems, with a tachyon inversion beam, which requires regenerative mode, disruptor lotus, again tactical mode, an advanced quantum slipstream drive, and a battle cloak. Once again, like its Federation counterpart, you have regenerative mode with tachyon inversion beam and tactical mode with a phaser lotus.
As well as the other Starship designs, what else will you get for your 1,000-day vet reward? Well, you get a new title for one, Statical Starfleet Veteran. Mm. Or, if you're a Klingon, Empire Veteran. So you can walk around saying, look at me, I've been here for a very long time.
I'm a veteran,
yeah. This is an in-game cycle that can be set for your character status screen. If you have the default keybinds, then press U to bring up the screen. From there, double click that your character is chosen from the left column, then click edit record towards the bottom and change your title. And then you can walk around Earth Space Dock, K7, DS9, wherever you happen to be and say, I've been here bloody ages.
As well as your new ship and title, you get a free Starship slot, handy as you're about to get a new ship to play with. Your Federation and Klingon characters will gain access to an extra Starship slot. Visit a shipyard and speak to the Select Your Ship contact to see your available slot.
Are you active on the forums? Well, if you are, you get an exclusive forum title. Two new titles are available to 1,000-day vet rewards, Starfleet Veteran and Empire Veteran. Forum titles can be set through the Edit Your Avatar section of the forums when you sign in. Towards the top left, to set the title of your choice, scroll down from the default selection of avatars to see the titles available to you. Choose the Yes radio button next to the one you'd like and click Submit Title to confirm. It's that simple.
Very simple. So now before we move on, we'd like to read this note from the original designer of the Chimera Heavy Destroyer. And I quote, I've been a huge Star Trek fan ever since I was a kid, and I started designing my own Trek ships about the time I first discovered crayons. So when I heard Cryptic Studios was holding a contest to design the next Starship Enterprise for Star Trek Online, I couldn't break out my digital tablet fast enough. I've been working hard for the last couple of years to improve my skills as a digital artist, with the hope of one day breaking into the industry. And this was too good an opportunity to pass up, in addition to being a Trek's fan labour of love. I started sketching concepts and zeroed in on my final design very quickly. I'd been tinkering with the basic look for several years, an elongated primary hull with a set of compact but powerful looking warp nacelles. I didn't give much thought at the time to the conventional expectations of what a ship named Enterprise should look like. It had to belong to the Trek universe and match with the STR aesthetic, but I didn't want to simply reinvent the wheel. I wanted something that would set itself apart from its predecessors and from the field of competition for the contest. One of the ways I chose to do that, perhaps unwisely in retrospect, was to go with four nacelles. Normally, this is one of the surest ways to turn your design into a fanboy monstrosity, but I took it as a challenge to find a way to make it work and make it look cool. It was probably the wrong choice for a new Enterprise, as reflected in the outcome of my contest, but I think it succeeded on its own merits and may have paid off in the end. So now, a year and a half later, my ship has made it into the game after all. Not as the Enterprise, but as an all-new ship subtype called the Chimera class, and I couldn't be happier with the results. I'm frankly amazed at how faithfully they've reproduced my original designs, whilst managing to make it even more badass with two alternate configuration modes. The Cryptic design team really took it to the next level, doubling down on the unusual elements like the quad nacelles and the stacked primary hull to create something even more unique and dynamically awesome. The ship is definitely going to stand out, and I can hardly wait to see how the gaming community reacts to it.
Right, folks, as promised, we now come to our feature, which is Brandon. So roll VTSA San Natalo, even though it's an audio podcast.
It's an audio telegraph.
Yeah, roll audio VT. As promised, we have a special guest joining us from Perfect World, stroke Cryptic, once again, is Brandon. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. It's great to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. It's always
my pleasure.
Always a pleasure. And the podcast heats go up every time you come back on as well, so that says a lot.
Well, it's a really exciting time for Star Trek Online. I'm really excited to be here to talk to you guys about some things. And, you know, we've got Season 7 in development launching next month, November. So tons of things right around the corner, tons of blogs coming out pretty soon. And I bet you guys have some questions that I can answer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, we have plenty of questions.
Sure.
I'd like to thank the people who submitted the questions. Unfortunately, I've lost my list of the names of the people who submitted the questions. So I'll just do a general thank you, and obviously you will recognise your question as it comes up. So we'll get into the first one, which is, can we expect to see added variants of current ships in-game, such as a new skin for the Odyssey or the Aatrox carrier any time soon, or a bridge variant for the Aatrox?
So now, I'm thinking skins, maybe the player is talking about like what we used to do with the costumes that are no longer available in the Sea Store.
Yeah.
So those are exclusive to the fleet variants now of the ships. Now, if you purchase them before, you have access to them. The Aatrox is not, there's no fleet version of the ship. I don't know of any plans to add one. But the Odyssey is in there, but there's not a new skin since the Odyssey is, you know, has that sleek 2409 look. That's not to say that there won't be any. There's no plans right now for it. In terms of the bridge variant for the Aatrox, you know, we've only seen unique bridges on a few ships. Outside of the lockbox, I believe only the Odyssey and Bortos had unique bridges, and that was kind of to go with the flagship theme of the ship. And then the ships that have come out of the lockbox you've seen, because obviously going inside a Tholian Recluse carrier, you probably would not see a Federation or Klingon bridge. The Aatrox, I know, is also an alien vessel, and so is the Vulcan one. So it'd be really interesting to revisit those at some point in the future, but, you know, a lot of this requires a lot of art time. And when I think of players, I mean, we've done a few things on our bridges, like RPing or having a fleet get together or whatnot. But most of the time, players are spending time out in game, you know, and maybe that can be revisited when interiors have more functionality to them, which, you know, has slowly come along the pace as well with the duty officers being available to do things in your ship interior with that. But, you know, I personally, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree that a lot of the art time that could go to that could be going towards new things, kind of like what you're going to see in Season 7. Some amazing artwork. Tons of new places to visit coming and a lot of new things to do. And a lot of that takes a lot of resources from the environment team, but it's worth it and it's beautiful. And I think you spend a lot more time doing that than hanging out on your bridge.
Yeah, and some of the pictures that they've released via Twitter and all that, the teaser pictures, they're just incredible.
Mind-blowing.
Yeah, and I've got a couple teasers coming up in some future blogs. We'll be starting the Season 7 blog series pretty soon, where you'll get new images of like Into the Hive, a couple teaser shots from the new Romulan zone, the colony zone. You've seen the picture from last Friday from the Ask Cryptic.
Yep.
There was a image of the shuttle bay, which is inside of the fleet embassy.
Yeah, that looked gorgeous.
So, yeah.
Graphic designers are doing stand-up work.
Mm-hmm.
Go on in, Dave. So,
can you tell us what ships are currently on the development board as opposed to being on the whiteboard?
So the biggest ship right now that we've kind of started hinting at, and we've released some pictures very recently, is the Vesta. So the Vesta is going to be launching with Season 7. It should be out the same day as Season 7's launch. And it's a beautiful, beautiful ship. Of course, we'll have blogs about it, kind of detailing stats and things like that. So that's definitely like in development as opposed to whiteboard. Some of the other things that have been talked about, again, I guess this is kind of whiteboard, but, you know, the Andorian ships and, so we'll see what moves from whiteboard to the development board. But what I can talk about right now is the Vest is definitely in development. It's almost done. And there's been some really pretty screenshots of it, out. If you look at, Jeff Miller, who's one of the ship artists, if you look at his Twitter, which I think is at LCDRMiller, there was a beautiful shot of the Vesta in front of Mars, and it looks stunning. And I know Mark Redemaker, who designed the Vesta, is really happy with it as well.
Excellent.
Brilliant.
I'm looking forward to getting my hands on that ship.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And then I'm sure we'll talk about this later. You probably have some questions about it, but then we released the just yesterday the Chimera class and the, I don't know how to pronounce the Klingon one, but Peg Q.
Yeah, that's what I said.
It's what you well, said. It must well, be wrong.
It's kind of like Vortosk. At the end, it's like that ah sound. So maybe it's Pega. I'm not 100%. We need our Klingon brethren and sisters to tell us.
We need David from Trek Radio to come in and he can pronounce it for us.
Exactly.
Neither of you sound angry enough when you say it.
Yeah.
David talks Klingon, though, do you? So.
Really?
Yeah, he talks fluent Klingon.
Wow. Need to hear this.
The Klingon one, it stands for basically very cryptic. So basically it's the cryptic class.
That's clever.
Yeah. And I don't think we used cryptic class for the Federation ship because it was a fan design, you know, Vector, who submitted it for the Enterprise, Design the Next Enterprise contest. So maybe in the future we'll get a cryptic class.
That'd be cool. And if any developers want to do like a mission on Deck 8, you know, that's fine by us.
All right.
Right. Next question. Why can't British based players buy Zen in pounds sterling?
So this is something that changed when we went over to the Perfect World system. So when we changed from purchasing cryptic points to Zen. So the Zen system and the different companies that allow us, that we you purchase through to be able to use your Zen, the payment processors, they only are using euros, it looks like. But I've definitely passed this feedback along. I've seen this come in through Twitter and the forums from a few different mediums of players requesting this. So it's definitely something I've sent over. I'm not sure where it stands on it, but I know it has to do with the payment processors.
Yeah, that was a question that we got off Twitter. I think that was off the Wyland Corporation. So, but it's nice that someone's looking into it. That's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, it'd be great if we can offer as many payment sources as possible and as many currencies. So I've definitely passed that feedback back along, but no ETA or, you know, no definitive answer of if that's something we're going to be able to offer.
Okay.
So can you give us any details on the Vesta class now we know it's coming? Will it be in the C store?
Ah, okay. So, yeah, we're just talking about Vesta launching Season 7 day. It should be on the same day. And yes, it's going to be a C store ship. So you'll be able to pick it up in the C store. I know some players are saying, oh, it's going to be in the lockbox. No, it's a C store ship. So
wonderful.
Oh, God. I can buy it.
So, and what's great about that is, you know, you can also use Dilithium and trade that in for Zen and then purchase it from there.
Yeah. Well, I recently bought some Zen anyway because I got one of them codes to get the bonus.
Okay, yeah, the bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that money's sitting there waiting for the Vesta.
All right. It's cooking.
It's cooking, yeah. Right. Can you give us some more details on the reputation system?
So yeah, I can give a basic overview of the reputation system. Right now we introduced the fleet holding system, which allows fleets to build their starbase. And then in Season 7, fleets are going to be able to begin building their embassy. Well, the reputation system is something more personal. So, for instance, there'll be two different reputation systems, one for reputation with the Romulans and one for reputation with Task Force Omega, who, it's involved with the special task forces, the STFs. So, for example, for STFs, you're going through and you're collecting data chips and things like that. Well, you can put those into your personal reputation system, and then you can get rewards based off that. So you know exactly what you need to do to get your rewards rather than it's a chance. You know, with the STFs, I myself went through hundreds of them, you know, to get my full set. Yeah. Or I have some friends that went through and got them in the first dozen runs. You know, it's just how it works out. Right. So with the reputation system, this allows you to kind of have a goal to work towards. And you can choose rewards and things like that to work on. So think of the fleet holding system, but, you know, something more personal.
Yeah.
and it's going to be great. And the team is still considering how, you know, how accolades are going to play a part in this. So say you've already run hundreds of STFs. You're not just going to be like, oh, well, you have to start over. There'll be something in there to help with the conversion, so to say. I don't have exact details on it, but we'll definitely have a blog on it. So you want to watch out for more information as we get closer to Season 7's launch. And then, of course, testing it on Tribble and things like that.
Excellent.
Fantastic. We had a question about crafting. Is it staying as it is? At the moment, it seems a bit of a bind to explore and add the lithium in order to actually craft anything worthwhile.
So at the moment, it is staying as it is. And we're going to be looking at, you know, doing an overhaul or at least changing it in some sense in the future. But we've got some things ahead of it that we definitely want to get in. You know, it's not in Season 7. I don't know if it's even looking to be in Season 8. But, you know, we want crafting to be something that's fun and worthwhile to do and players to participate in it. So we're watching for feedback on the forums. There's several threads about crafting and ideas. So definitely search out those threads, post in them. We'll be watching for that. And then, of course, as we get closer to kind of talking about it and what we really have planned, that's when we'll start opening up discussion and, you know, Tribble and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. And that goes with most things, folks. If you've got an idea or a suggestion, go to the forums, put it on the forums, because just flying around in sector space, moaning to your fleet mates, then Perfect World and Cryptic don't know what you're saying.
Yeah, and, you know, I pass along a lot of feedback from the forums. I may not post in the thread, but that doesn't mean it's not getting passed along. Also, a lot of the devs read the forums. There's only some that choose to participate, but that doesn't mean they're not reading. For instance, QA is looking at the Gameplay Bugs forum all the time and searching out the other forums, and I try and move threads that have to do with bugs, and so do the moderators, to the Gameplay Bugs section, so that way QA can seize it. We don't see a lot of QA testers posting on there, but they're looking out for bugs and compiling reports of, you know, some of the hot issues out there, or anything out of the ordinary. And I'll pass along things all the time, every day things get passed along, whether it's feedback or, you know, hey, can we investigate this? So it, you know, not every thread is going to get a post to it, not every thread, not every forum, or let me rephrase that. Every forum is getting looked at. So for instance, our systems designers who are working on the DOF system, they're looking at the DOF forums, posting in there. So it's also important to note to, you know, post your feedback or suggestions in the right forum, and the moderators and myself will try and move them to there. And if your thread gets moved, it's not because we want to move it because it's just out of our fancy to move it. We want to put it in a place where to make sure that the developers who are working on that side of the project are able to see it.
Yeah. There you go. So, this was a personal question, which was emailed to me, and this is from, let me pull his name up. This is from Alan, and I do apologize if I say this wrong, Alan. I think it's Chaucery. And what he wanted to know was, I'm 14, and I really want to get into being a game developer, hopefully to be employed at a game studio. Can you give me any tips about what makes a successful developer?
Well, I'm not personally a developer, but as most know, I was not in the gaming industry before coming to Star Trek Online and to Perfect World. I mean, I was writing for Massively, but even before that, I was actually in banking, which, you know, nothing to do with video games at all.
Not at all.
I don't know.
And, you know, if you have a passion for something and a drive for something, you can get anywhere you want to go. Some of the big things I've seen for people where I've heard other interviews of developers talking about getting into the industry, it's make yourself known out there. So get into the modding communities where games that allow modding and things like that. Have a portfolio of work. In Star Trek Online, you know, we have the Foundry. What an amazing piece of your resume you can have to say, hey, actually play this mission. I want to be a content designer. Actually design some content. Check it out. And don't be afraid to put your name out there. There's a lot of people trying to get into the game industry. I mean, there's a lot of great talent out there looking to for their next step and things like that. But that doesn't mean that someone can't get into the industry. Myself, I started a podcast. with a friend, and that turned into something that led me to work for Massively, writing about Star Trek Online. And then the community manager position opened, and you know, I kind of showed my experience, and you know, that's led me to where I am now. So take little steps to get somewhere in a bit where you want to go. That's bigger than what you want to get to now. Like you say, you're 14. It might even be illegal to work right now. It depends on where you live, but that doesn't mean you can't start now. You know, if you want to be a developer, it depends on what you're developing. If you're, you know, artist, start making a portfolio. Whereas if you're a programmer, start making little games, like little browser games or 8-bit games, whatever, just to start getting that experience. So when you go to talk about it, you may not have had a job in the game industry before, but you have something to show that you're passionate yeah. about.
One tip I would give you on all that is there's a chap called Cerberus who does Cerberus Films,
mm-hmm.
and he's only a teenager himself, and all that stuff he does is what he does to get himself noticed. So you might want to check him out, check his stuff out on YouTube, and get some ideas.
Yeah, and he's BAFTA nominated at 16 years old.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's incredible, so. And he's a very talented guy.
Mm.
Yep.
So we have another question. Can we get the name of our starbase to appear when doing missions like Starbase Blockade, Fleet Alert, and things like that?
So the reason why I think it's not there right now is because if you're in a random queue, it may not pull your actual starbase. It might pull someone else's. So I think we've left it just as starbase or whatever the default is because of that. Now, if you're in a private queue, then that might be something different. It might need some programming work. So I'd definitely pass that suggestion along. I think it'd be cool if you're in a private queue with your fleet and they're all in the same fleet and that's your starbase, then it'd be cool to see it right there, you know. I love that we were able to get the starbase name in there, which wasn't going to be in the original release, but Heretic, before he left, saw some feedback about it and some posts and made it happen. So I think that's really, really awesome. I know another thing that players like to see is their fleet emblem on the star bases. So hopefully that would be something in the future. But as it is right now, and I know Tumor Boy or Taco Fang talked about it on the forums, whereas the logos right now are made for ships. You know, they're smaller. So if you were to put it on a giant star base, it'd be tiny. So hopefully someday in the future. But that's a great suggestion. Person or the primary person, the team leader, I forget exactly. But then it would show someone else's starbase name and kind of break
yeah.
the merge.
Yeah, it wouldn't work then, would it?
No.
Yeah. With all the new ships going into lock boxes, is this going to be the way forward in relation to new ships?
No. So, you know, some of the unique ships have been in lockboxes, but not all of them. For instance, the Vesta and the Seastore, the Regent was recently in a Seastore. Ships will still continue to be released via the Seastore, and some ships which are, you know, supposed to be rare, unique, not every single person is flying them, will go into lockboxes.
Excellent.
Like
the Vesta class is going into the Seastore.
Yep.
Mm. So are there any plans to introduce more social games, such as 3D chess, poker?
So this gets brought up a lot, and this is a programming task. And I know Dan Stahl, our executive producer, has mentioned a few times that one of the programmers' side tasks was wanting to create a poker for in-game. It hasn't happened yet. It requires a lot of time. But you'll see more mini-games coming out, and you'll actually see one, I believe, with Season 7. So that should be kind of fun. And we recently did the mining minigame, and then we've got the scanning minigame. So, and then we have the minigame where you move the pieces of the puzzle. You know, we have that in the Friday the 13th mission. It was there. And then also in the most recent featured episode, the episode 5 for the 2800.
Yeah, yeah. That was a lot of people got confused about that one, which
yeah.
made me laugh.
3D chess, though, would be pretty cool. I've seen some boards out there. Like, I never knew if there was like actual rules to the game, or if it was just chess split into you know, three boards. So that'd be pretty interesting to see. I know we've got the 3D chess boards as a unlock on fleet star bases.
Yeah.
They're aesthetic. There's nothing playable to them. So that'd be cool to see one day.
There is a 3D chess game for the iPod and the iPad.
Okay.
And that's basically chess split onto three levels.
It doesn't
really flow.
So right.
Nice idea, badly executed. So, but, you know, he tried. That's not good. We'll skip the 1,000 day event reward, Brandon, because we've done that as a news item.
Okay.
Now it's on the web.
Okay.
So next one is finally. Why does that say finally? It's number 12. Okay, forget that. A fun one now. Incarnation of Star Trek has never made it to 8 series. Do you have any celebrations planned?
Yeah, this is something funny we joked about at Vegas, that Star Trek Online would be the first Star Trek franchise, or, you know, so to say, making it to season 8. So we'll see what we have planned. I mean, we've got our 3-year anniversary coming up next February. So we've got some celebrations there planned, but it'd be interesting to do something to celebrate season 8. I know that's definitely gonna be something to poke fun at and flaunt on Twitter and things like that, to be a part of the first Star Trek that made it to season 8. But, yeah, we'll see what we have planned. Nothing to share right now on it, but definitely something that we all have in the front of our minds and are excited about, very proud about.
Yeah, it's there's quite a few people already mentioning it on Twitter and Google and places like that, that Star Trek Online is going to be the first to make 8 series and not go to a movie. So, So that'd be cool if it had a Star Trek Online movie, though. That'd be quite good.
Be amazing.
Yeah.
Would it be possible to introduce fleet lore into the fleet star bases, or a panel that could display the ranking officers and so on for newcomers to see?
This is actually the first time I've heard of this idea. I think that'd be pretty cool. You know, something that displays the characters, which I don't know if it would have to, like, you submit a snapshot. Like, you know how you can save a costume and then load it? Yeah. Like, maybe you did that and then it displayed. That's pretty interesting idea. I'm going to have to forward that along. It's probably possible. I just don't know, you know, of any plans to introduce it, but I don't even know if anyone's ever heard of the idea before. So I think that's pretty cool. I've seen some fleets doing some really unique things to introduce their leadership and things like that, with making foundry missions. So they'll have a fleet foundry mission that you can go through, and it kind of explains the history of the fleet. You get to meet the fleet officers and things like that.
Yeah, that was my question, actually.
Oh, cool. Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah. I'm definitely going to pass it
along. The problem I'm having with my fleet is we've got three ranking officers in 3 different time zones to make sure there's always a ranking officer on.
Yeah.
And so some people who play in a certain time zone know nothing about the other ranking officers. But yeah, that would be cool. There you go.
Yeah.
Right. Are there any plans to end the Klingon-Federation war? It's a bit strange how we had a war with someone but run missions with them at the same time.
So, you know, we're still in the year 2409. Even though we're almost at our 3-year mark, you know, the story itself is still set in the same year. And this would be a good question for Kestrel. She has so many ideas and so many stories written. I don't know if you've heard her recent interviews, but she's talked about Klingon missions that she's written that she'd love to do at some point, follow-ups to previous missions and things like that. So I don't know. To be honest, I don't know of some of the plans. But I do know that you can cross-faction team right now for things because you need to put your differences aside to kind of take a look at the bigger threat, for instance, in the STS and things like that. And this also gave a good way to segue to allow, you know, players to team with their friends. But the lore is important and the story is important as well. And it'd be interesting to see where it goes from here. But nothing that I personally know of and that I could reveal at this time.
And at the end of the day, Klingons are happy as long as they're fighting. They don't care who.
So, as long as they're fighting and there's no tribbles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't care who to kill. So.
So are there any plans from Perfect World to allow Star Trek Online players access to Neverwinter Nights?
So Neverwinter, our newest game coming out next year. We've recently added a lifetime subscriber perk, which will guarantee closed beta access to our lifetime subscribers. The invites will be doled out over the course of the test. But there's a lot of contests and things going on where you can earn a beta key as well. So, for instance, Stormshade just posted up a contest, I think, yesterday for Halloween to create a Halloween campaign, and you'll win a beta key. But as far as allowing players access to it, as soon as it launches, you'll be able to just log in with the same account that you have. And that's what's great about having a Perfect World account, is you can try out any of our games using the same information. You just download the client and log right in, and you can start playing. So, but in terms of beta, closed beta, we've got that for lifetime subscribers. Excellent. And then, of course, tons of contests being run all over the place to win beta keys.
Oh, that's cool. I've got a lifetime. I'll get my key.
Yep.
Here you go. Can you elaborate what is in the new Romulan Colony Adventure Zone?
So this new Adventure Zone, I don't want to give too many spoilers, but I will say a few things. I believe it's our biggest zone to date that we've done. We've got some pretty big areas. You know, the Defera zone's pretty big. Nopata Desert is pretty big if you look at the map. But I believe this is the actual biggest. And there's so much to do on it. It's so big that, and some of the encounters are so are bigger than our past ones. So like Defera and Nukara, you beam down by yourself. Well, with the Romulan Colony Zone, the Adventure Zone, you're going to be able to beam down with a bridge officer. And some of the instances that you'll go into, so not only is it a big open zone, but there'll be instances too, just like Defera and Nukara. But some of those you'll actually need five players for, or even four other bridge officers for. So it's going to be a lot of fun. We've taken a look at what we did for Defera and what we've done for Nukara and built on that to make it our best zone yet. So it's huge. It's going to be really cool, and it's so beautiful in there. One of the blogs that will be coming out soon, maybe next week, has a couple sneak peek shots of some of the things you'll encounter. And there's some pretty interesting creatures on the planet, too, that have not been – this will be the first time they're being introduced into the game. One of them is my absolute favorite, which I wish I could say, but I can't say what it is. But it's so cool. It's really cool. But yeah, it's definitely going to be one of those zones where players are going to beam down, look around, and go, oh my gosh. And you've seen some of the concept art that we put up for it. And, you know, concept art is concept art. But when I go in there and I look up at the sky, I'm like, wow. This looks like the concept art, you know. But, you know, concept art is there to provide, you know, a basis for what the area looks like. So I'm really excited for you guys to see it. It's huge and super cool.
I love that concept art when the Folion is overlooking the colony. And I looked at that and I thought, that's cool, because that means somewhere in that zone there's something to do with the Folions.
Yeah. And see, it's not on Nukara, so it's not a Y-class planet, so they need their EV suits.
Yeah.
So, and I think the team did an amazing job on them, and you guys are going to love them.
The concept art, you can interpret what's going to happen in there on some level.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So what, if anything, can you tell us about the plans for the 3-year anniversary event?
So 3-year anniversary, February next year, 2013, we'll definitely be doing a huge party like we've done the last 2 years, some goodies to give away and things like that. Mm-hmm. But we're still working out the final details of what extras we want to add in and things like that. So definitely stick around. It's amazing to think 3 years is coming up. I was joking about this, you know, well before I, you know, worked here with closed beta, how excited I was to play. I was actually in Guam for 3 weeks during the closed beta, and I would wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning and go to the local gas station, because that was the only place with internet to go play, you know, the play test for the beta. And it was so much fun. And what's great is I still have that much fun to this day, and even more fun. So
fantastic.
It's quite incredible to think that we're good. Basically, in a few days, people will start getting the 1,000 day event rewards.
Yeah. Well, as of today.
Yeah. That's just flew by.
It's insane. Cheers to the next 1,000, right?
Yeah. And beyond.
Yep.
Right. Can you give us any details on the winter event?
So winter event, we definitely want to do something similar to last year. I'm sure Q will want to be back and open up Winter Wonderland again. So, you know, some of the favorite things that you did last year, maybe making their return and maybe in new additions and things like that. So we'll definitely put up more information as we get closer. Look for a blog. We're doing a lot of blogs lately to kind of explain new things coming up, which is, you know, a change from, you know, the first days of STO. And I think it's great because not only do we hear from the developers, but we've got something that you can go back and look at and use as reference as well. For instance, like the blogs that have all the ship stats for the lockbox and things like that. I've known when I've gotten my new ship, I'm like, okay, well, let me compare my stats to what the last one I used was. And so look out for more information for that. And it's going to be fun. It's definitely going to be Q will be involved in some shape or form, I'm sure.
Oh, great.
Wonderful.
I always like it when Q comes back.
he's a really fun character.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've got a question about the Wrath of Khan Admiral's uniform and if it will ever get updated. It has no rank pins and you can't give it the gold piping like in the movie for the Admiral rank.
Yeah, so the Wrath of Khan uniform has been around, I think, since the game launch, or if not right after. Mm-hmm. You know, we go back and tweak things when we can. Like, for instance, the Galaxy class ship. Like, I think that's been tweaked like around 30 plus times or so. And we're always looking to go back and make it as accurate as possible. So I don't think it's out of the question. I think a lot of our resources right now are on bringing new things out. And I know a lot of players, you know, like I'll switch into my Wrath of Khan uniform for like a formal fleet event, things like that, if we don't have to wear our fleet uniforms or not. So I would do love to see the gold piping. I love how sharp that looks. So I'll pass along the feedback, but I don't know of any plans right now, but that's definitely not to say it's out of the question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question. It was said there would be a limited version of a fleet starbase for solo players or small fleets. Any news on this?
I don't remember hearing anything like that. I may be mistaken.
It wouldn't be much of a fleet with one person anyway.
So. No, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's definitely fleets out there that maybe start with five people and only one person is active, and they're building up that starbase and doing a great job at it. I think the plan for fleet starbases is to be a minimum of five. You know, if some of those people stop playing or whatnot, you know, then that person can still continue it. But I think we're going to see like a solo version of something similar where you can increase in rank or not rank, but kind of have a similar level of earn rewards and things like that is going to be through the reputation system we talked a little about a little bit earlier. Yeah. So I think that's probably what maybe they're just talking about, that there was going to be some kind of a similar system for solo players, and I think maybe that's the reputation system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which fits nicely.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's tons of new information coming out. We are going to have a very busy month. Look for pretty much posts every day for the rest of the month on new and exciting things. Some really awesome things that I think the community has been asking for a long time too. I cannot wait for you guys to hear about Into the Hive.
I'm looking forward to
the new STF coming out. I'll give you a little. There will be a blog out about it tomorrow. So that will be our first Season 7 dev blog, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. It's written by Chris Dodds, who kind of took over the helms. He created the Alpha mission. He also took over the rest of the development of Into the Hive when Gozer left. So it's been, as an STFer, someone who's STF since the beginning, I'm really excited for you guys to play it. It's really fun, and it's kind of, you know, the culmination. You're fighting the Borg Queen, so.
No, that, not Rebecca, the Borg Queen.
The Borg Queen. Rebecca's not a Borg Queen. She's the princess.
She's a princess, yeah. Princess with fangs.
I know. When I first started working with Zero, you know, who did the voice, the first thing I did is I'm like, first off, I want to apologize for killing you so many times. I had to have killed her maybe like, you know, Rebecca. Oh, gosh. 600 times plus, I don't know, some crazy amount of infected runs that I've done.
Nice.
That's fun.
It's still fun to run it to this day.
I apologize for shooting you in the face on numerous occasions.
Pretty much. No, I will not be joining you, but I am sorry for destroying your character in game.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you're listening, I'd also like to apologize for repeatedly shooting you in the face as well. Because I must have done that mission about 500 times. So. It's a fun mission, though. It's one of the missions that you can run it, and every time you run it, something different happens.
Right, and the, you know, the elite version of the ground is pretty challenging to get the optional. So I always, you know, I know once you've gotten the optional, you know, you don't have to get it, but I always love going for it, and I always try and team up with teams who are looking to get it, because it just requires good teamwork, and I think that's what makes it so fun, is working with our players. We're playing an MMO, you know, and so to kind of come up with a plan, you know, and just not go in Leroy Jenkins on things, but, you know, you know, have a plan and sticking to it and shields up and things like that. So I love it. I'm really excited for this one. This one's definitely going to require some teamwork too, I'll tell you that.
Oh, there's so much cool stuff coming up now that you just want it now. So.
Yes, season 7 is going to be huge, and it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger each season. So
is it on track?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool.
Hopefully to triple very soon. At least some things, you know, not as you came out to triple over the course of the time, and you'll see things like that happen, you know, as well.
Brilliant. So much stuff to be doing soon. So you're going to have to get your computer sorted.
I know. I'm sat here listening like,
Brandon, she can't play, so.
I want to be involved so badly.
Yeah, there's so much cool stuff. It just literally in the past few months, some of the stuff that's landed, it's just.
Insane. I love it.
I mean, I've had people who've tweeted me and says, like, do you still play Star Trek Online? I go, yeah, never stopped. And I go, what's different? And you go, too much. You just
can't even tell you.
Yeah, it's too
much. But what's nice too about it, the biggest question I get on Twitter is from new players is, you know, I'm just starting out and I'm starting with season 6. You know, am I going to miss everything from the first season? I said, no. It's not how it works. You know, it adds on. So it's the perfect time to be a new player. You get to experience a lot, you know? So.
Okay, you've convinced me. I'll sort my computer out.
Yeah. Cool. Get back in game.
I know. I will. And then you'll be hearing from me every day, both of you.
Well, you can follow Brandon on Twitter. He tweets quite a lot of things on.
I think I do follow Brandon. I'm not really sure. Brandon, what is your handle?
So it's PWE_Brandflakes.
You get that, do you?
Yeah, I think I do follow you already.
There you go.
Cool. Nice.
And if you also, there's lots of the Star Trek Online team on Twitter as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at some of my, if you look at my followers and go to like the first set of followers, you'll see a lot of the STO and Cryptic developers.
Okay, fantastic.
Yeah, and they're worth following because whatever they're working on, every now and again they'll tweet a picture.
A teaser.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And then,
it's just going to tease me more.
No, it's great. It's worth following them because then you find out what's coming. And Brandon tweets when the blogs are up and stuff like that, so you know, right, it's up, bang, go. So.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I clicked unfollow by accident, but I'm following you again. This is why I should never touch screen phone, but I am following you again.
Okay, cool.
She's going to get an email now saying you have a new follower. That's great. Thanks for coming anyway, Brandon.
My pleasure. Anytime. And season 7 launching November, and we'll see you in game.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to get you back on when season 7 launches.
Sounds great. I look forward to it.
That's brilliant. Thanks very much.
My pleasure. Talk to you guys soon. Have a great day.
Have a great day. Cheers.
Bye. Cheers. Bye.
As of today, October the 10th, all current and future lifetime subscribers will gain instant access to all veteran rewards regardless of the purchase date. This includes the 1000 day veteran rewards ships. So now is the perfect time to pick up a lifetime sub to Star Trek Online, so you can play forever as a gold member, never pay a monthly sub, get all the benefits and every solitary lifetime veteran reward. And some of that stuff is quite cool.
Very cool. Sure. Shall I go again?
Yeah. Always go again, love. Once it's never enough.
Right, close on the heels, and as promised, we're going to give away 4 codes to you so you can claim a Hololita doff. In order to win a code, we want you to email the answer to this question. And I don't have the question.
No, because you thought, weren't you?
Colin, you are a nightmare.
It's very simple. All you have to do is name every podcast that is on the Trek FM network. If you're not sure, go to the site, which is trek.fm, no www, just trek.fm, and click on the podcast bar. You will have 7 days to enter from the day this episode drops. So if you're not sure how you can feedback to us, give us your answer, and so on and so forth, here is all the contact details, including Dee's Twitter, and how you can email the answer to us, and all that type of stuff. So here's the contact details. Don't forget, go to trek.fm, click on the podcast bar, and tell us every podcast on the Trek FM network within 7 days of this episode dropping. And here's how to contact us. Right, how to contact us. First, Tom. You can find Tom on Twitter at TomBad2378. You can find me on Twitter at COLMH01 or on the podcast account, which is Trek News and Views. You can also follow Deck8 on Twitter. And if you want to follow D, which you should be following D, if this podcast is any kind of D is D double E D double E Pix. X is P I X. Also on Twitter you can follow Trek FM. If you're on Facebook, you can follow Trek FM on Facebook. And you can also go to the website, which is Trek.fm. No www, just Trek.fm. And if you want to email us, it's deck8sto@gmail.com. That's 8 the word, not the number. And the Twitter account is deck_8. Deck8sto@gmail.com, which is the number, which is the letters EIGHT, and deck_8 on Twitter, which is the numeral. And that's it. That's how you can feedback to us, that's how you can contact us, so please do.
Now, next week, we won't be producing an episode because we'll be in London, for Star Trek London, from the 19th to the 21st of October. But while we won't be producing an episode, we would love to meet you. You can find us in the fan zone. And if you come up and you don't have a 3-day pass, which means you don't get a Hololita code, we will have 7 more codes to give away. So let us know you listen to Deck 8, and if they're still available, you can have one.
Now, in order to make it fair, we will be giving 2 codes away on Friday, 3 on the Saturday, and 2 on the Sunday. So these will be on first come, first served basis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're not going to give them all away on one day because some people have got tickets for the Friday, some people have got tickets for the Saturday, and some people have got tickets for the Sunday. So because we've got 7 codes, because we've given them some away in the competition,
mm-hmm.
we think that's the best way to do it, and to be fair. So go to the fan zone. We are table 28, I believe it is. And either I'll be there, Tom will be there, Dee will be there, one of us will be there. And come up to us and say, I listened to Deck 8 and I've come to claim the code if they're still available. And we'll give you one.
Perfect.
That's simple.
Simple.
But it's only for people who haven't got a 3-day pass.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not fair otherwise. Because if you've got a 3-day pass, you're going to get code anyway.
Yeah.
And it's 1 code per account, so you're not going to benefit by getting...
You can't come each day and ask for another one.
No. It's 1 code per account anyway, so you're not going to achieve anything by repeatedly coming back.
Don't be greedy.
Yeah. Star Trek member. Nice to people. So, there you go. In the fan zone, come and find us. I'll be there, Tom will be there, Dee will be there, someone will be there. Unless we're at, like, you know, a talk or something like that.
Having our photos taken, whatever we're doing.
But even if we are doing that, then we will put a sign up on the desk saying we are at, so you know roughly how long we're going to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's it.
That's everything.
That's the wrap, as they say.
And we miss Tom. We want you back next week. Right. Not next week, the week after.
Miss him at all. You're not telling lies. You told me to start the podcast, you know.
I said Tom can't come again. Tom's banned.
Tom can't come again?
No.
Oh.
He knows I like him, really.
Yeah. And Tom, you know, don't worry, you're not nothing, mate, but, you know, we've been podcasting now for 3 hours and we're still laughing.
And we're still laughing?
Yeah.
There's been no tantrums or anything.
3 hours, mate. 3 hours. Yeah. You couldn't
laugh. You'll edit this part out. Stop being a tease.
Yeah. Oh, one. It was 3 hours, mate. See? 3 hours. You couldn't last 3 hours because you're Welsh. So.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I think you officially got your own back on Tom for the podcast last night.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, it's his fault. He keeps hauling himself out to rival networks. So.
Yeah, we don't like that. Stop doing that.
Yes. Be loyal to Trek FM.
Bad Tom.
Yes.
Mm.
I don't know. Executive officer on the ISS and all. It's not on.
Very bad, Tom.
Yes. So, there you go, folks. That's it. You know how to contact us from the earlier section. You know what everyone's Twitter handles are. Just in case you forgot Dee's Twitter handle, she will...
How could you?
...tell you. And if you did forget, shame on you.
Shame on you. It is the @ and DEEPIX.
There you go.
So follow me, and yeah. I follow back, and I like to tweet about Star Trek all day long.
Yeah, and other stuff.
And other very random stuff.
Very random things, some of which make absolutely no sense.
Making sense is no fun.
No. Nah.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you, my darling.
I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, of course you did. You with me.
Exactly. We would make a fine duo.
Yeah. Tom, you're not coming back.
Poor Tom. No, lovely.
He's gonna wonder what the hell's going on when he listens to this.
I know what you're like. You'll chicken out of it and you'll edit it all out.
I'll edit some of it out, like you just asked me to, but the rest of it I'll leave it.
Don't edit any of it and see what he says.
Yeah. Just, he won't talk to me ever again.
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, no. Mind you, that's not a bad thing. He's Welsh.
You and the Welsh jokes.
Right, we're going.
We're going.
Yeah, it's an hour and a half long now. So
we need to cut it down.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Bridge, seal off deck 8, corridors A and B.